Let's just continue our worship of the Lord with a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you because you are holy, you are worthy, you are mighty, you are almighty, you are all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign, the eternal Creator God, and we praise you today. We praise you for your grace, the grace that has been shown to me, to us, to Dennis, to many. The forgiveness of sin that we praise you for. The blood that was shed on Calvary's tree, we praise you for. Your Son, your Word, your Spirit, O God, we praise you for today. I just want to lift up those in our prayer focus, Father. Kathy, Hans, Lily, Barb, Tepley family, and all the rest. Please comfort, please guide, please encourage. I want to pray, Father, for humanity, Motley, Pillager, Staples, Lincoln, Philbrook, Leader, Popper, all around us. I want to pray for the salvation of humanity, O God. Nothing else matters until we are right with you, the living God, through faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, O God, that you would save souls. Continue to save in our community, in our families, in our co-workers, in the world. Thank you for Dennis's story. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard here. I pray that you'd anoint this, your son, Dennis, with your Spirit. And as he shares with us this morning, may you, our Heavenly Father, be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Dennis, where are you? He's hiding because he's nervous. Here he is. I'm going to give you this. You want to step up there? This is my brother. You notice resemblance? I've known him for a lot of years. I saw him walk into this town. I saw him walk into Trident, into Seafest, and I immediately was drawn to him, my friend. Now he's my brother, and you're going to hear his story. Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you. My name's Dennis Vasquez. I'm going to tell you how God changed my life. I was born and raised in Texas. I have four lovely children with my wife, Maricela. I grew up with 10 brothers and sisters without a mom and a dad. My grandmother raised us. I started doing drugs and drinking when I was like 10 or 12 years old, start of middle school. And I was already getting suspended for fighting and whatnot, doing drugs. My second year wasn't even worse. It got even worse as it went. You know, I remember walking into class and teachers look at me and shake their heads and didn't want me in there, you know, and ask him to sit way in the back so I don't bother their students, and they would tell me, you know, sit over there, back over there, don't bother nobody, and I'll pass you. So I thought it was cool back then, but it only make things worse. I thought, you know, no discipline, no authority to respect here in school or at home. I just got worse and started roaming the streets. Then I get to high school and decide school's not for me, so I drop out. That summer, you know, a friend of mine says, you know, him and his family, they travel to Minnesota every year and do the fields or whatever in Andover, Minnesota. He invited me to do so, and I accepted, so we came, and I was a young kid. So, yeah, I mean, everything went well that year, but the following year, he invited me again, and this time it was different. A friend of mine and myself, we stole a truck, and we were young kids and started joyriding and crashed. And you know, we fled, you know, got caught or whatever, and got locked up. So with no family up here, I get flown back to Laredo. I'm there for a couple months again, and I decide to start breaking the law again. So I get locked up again. This time, you know, I several months locked up, so I get released with probation or whatever, and now I gotta get a job because probation costs money. So I'm doing okay. I meet my wife. We, you know, have our first kid, first child, Jennifer. I'm doing okay until this friend of mine comes up to me and says, I gotta go for a while. He had to go do some time. So he's, I'm looking for somebody to take care of my business. So I accepted. Well, this business was selling drugs. So I started doing that for a living. Of course, with drugs comes violence and all kinds of turmoil. So by this point, getting shot at or having guns to my head was normal. That's what I grew up with. That's what I knew. That's what I know what to do. That's what was going around in the neighborhood. So I thought it was normal. I've got a lot of friends that are dead, locked up, some of them doing life. I had friends die in my arms and thinking that could have been me, but still I kept going 100 miles per hour, didn't care. But I was no angel. I did all that stuff myself, hurting people and whatnot, you know. I remember thinking of the lives I was destroying, lives and families I was destroying because of the drugs I was selling, and I knew it was destroying my family, my wife. I didn't care. I just care about the money, making money, hurting people for whatever reason. I thought it was right. I was very abusive to my wife, a horrible husband, put her through a lot. I was never a husband to her, never a father to my children. You know, I'm a very shy person, but out there in the streets, I was comfortable. I was comfortable with the gangs, the violence. I was full of anger and hatred. I was a soldier for the evil one. I was ready to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, at this point in my life, I get introduced to crack cocaine. I was already a heavy drug user, but this made things worse. Going days without sleep at a time and not thinking straight. I was out of control. Then one day my wife decided to pack up and leave. She had done this many times before, but she always come back. This time was different. The few family members in her family that would talk to me wouldn't tell me where she was. So I just started getting worse and worse again. So some time passed, and I was ready for a change. I wanted out of this lifestyle, but I couldn't just walk away. That's what I grew up knowing. I knew there was a God out there, so I was praying as best as I could. Little did I know that God was listening. Then one day, as I'm sitting there in my living room, I see a little newspaper ad there. pick it up and read it. Well, there's a little newspaper at Maury's Seafood in Motley, Minnesota is hiring. I'm like, where's Maury's? Where's Motley? So anyway, there's a job fair downtown. Brother and I go out there. There's a lot of people there, so we find the Motley booth. They were only looking for 10 to 12 people or so for the caviar season up here, busy season. So I'm one of the lucky ones. I get hired, travel to Motley, Minnesota, work for about 3 months, and before I leave, I apply over at SeaFest ConAgra, which is Trident Seafoods right now. So I get hired. So I go back to Laredo, pick up my stuff, the rest of my stuff, and head on over to Motley again. So I start working at Trident Seafoods there, ConAgra. Don't know how much time passed when I was there when this man approaches me and starts talking to me about Jesus. Gave me a Bible. You know, as I was listening to what he says, it made sense. And something. It's what I was longing for. I needed to hear that. I was lost all these years and blind to the love of Jesus. This man's name is Pastor Jim Johnson. I often think about that little newspaper ad from Motley. It was just a little piece of paper, but it made a huge difference in my life. I often think of why Laredo, Texas? Motley, Minnesota's way up here. Laredo's way down south. There is Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, then Texas. You know, all those little towns in between there, you know. But it was right there for a reason. God in his love and mercy for me saved me. I was a very hateful, angry individual. I was so violent. I often think about the things I've done, but like I said, I was a soldier for the evil one. I was ready to kill, steal, and destroy. I used to run with gangs, run the streets. But now I run with Jesus Christ. I run to Jesus Christ. All the glory to God Almighty. Thank you.
There's not too much I enjoy more than preaching, except for hearing that kind of testimony. I give God glory also for my path crossing with Dennis and Maricela. I praise God for that. You see, friends, most of you know this, but maybe not everybody does. There's a transforming power in God that's real. Dennis could tell you stories, as he has told me, for the rest of the day. But there's a transforming power in Jesus. It's not a head knowledge. He had that. It's a heart thing. He could tell you about his conversion. I could tell you about Maricela's conversion. I was with her. But when we surrender to Christ, and I don't mean a head knowledge, I mean repent. Cry out to Him, knowing we are a sinner that needs a Savior, He will change you. Amen? He has changed my brother. There's a lot more stories in here, and you've heard a lot of them, and you will hear some more as I bring them forward for you from time to time. God loves you too much to leave you in the direction you were going, the broad road. And He will do these kinds of things. Show you a little article in the Laredo, Texas paper. He will do those kind of things to bring you to Himself. He will do whatever it takes. The rest is up to you, what you do with Jesus' call on your life. We're going to celebrate communion in the last 10, 15 minutes that we have. And so, thank you, Dennis, for sharing, my brother. You got one more to go, brother. We'll do it all over again. And so we're going to prepare and celebrate communion. And just celebrate what Jesus means. Messiah. Salvation. Life transformer. Redeemer. And until we get to know Him, until we surrender our lives completely to Him, we're missing all of that. I don't want you to miss that. Anybody. I didn't want Dennis to miss it. He's not missing it no more. Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread," and we will pass out bread to you in just a moment. But Jesus did this on the night of His betrayal. He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so when we pass out this bread to you, it is remembering what Christ has done for us. It is celebrating the victory that is ours in Christ. We will never be victorious without Christ. But with Him, we can overcome a lot, can't we, brother? It can overcome a lot. From lost to found. From old to new. A new creation. And so when we take this bread, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Paul writes, "After supper, He took a cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And He says more. Most of you know what 1 Corinthians 11 says. Chris, will you come help me? Dale. But He says, "Let a man examine yourselves." Just a couple weeks ago, or last week, whenever it was, when I talked about anger and murder and all this stuff, Jesus said, before you come to the altar, you remember, maybe there's a wrong. Maybe you've wronged somebody. Maybe somebody's wronged you. Maybe something's not right between you and God. This is the time to examine ourselves. Am I right with God? And so we're going to bow our heads and we're going to examine ourselves, and my brothers and I will serve you these elements. Let's bow our heads and pray and examine ourselves and prepare for communion. Thank you again this morning, Heavenly Father, for this reminder that our sins can be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of His broken body, because of His sacrificial death, we can live. When we partake, not just of these elements, but by faith, as Dennis has done and many, many, many others have done, when we partake of the Savior, when we apply that blood to our lives, when we say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. I need Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, my sin can be washed away. We thank you, Father, for your grace that brought Jesus to the earth and to the cross, your grace that reaches out to each one of us when we say, Father, forgive me, I need you. I need Christ. Thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your Spirit that brings us alive when we put our faith in your Son. Thank you that we can remember communion this morning. To remember all of this, your love, your grace, your mercy, forgiveness, the blood, Jesus. We take communion this morning to remember it all. And so guide us as we do. Taking the bread, taking the cup, we remember Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible also says that after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant. I say, amen. The new covenant in my blood, as often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Father, thank you that in you and our surrendered faith to your Son, Jesus Christ, we can rise up from the ash heap of life, from the addictions of life, from the sin that so easily ensnares us. Thank you that in Jesus our life is brand new. Thank you, Father, for this testimony. Thank you for everyone here. Do a work of transformation, of salvation. Whatever we need, do that in us, I pray, to bring you glory. We pray this in all things in Jesus' name. Amen.